you know, well, mostly just thoughts, you know. And I didn't realize how dangerous those things were.
That's right.
And this man that came to, came that night, Monday night, to talk to me about things he was involved in and that had ultimately pulled him out of the church and destroyed his whole family and everything. My heart really went out to him. But I know that God was still drawing him because it was just so clear in my heart. I just, you know, like David said, a lot of times I don't think, and you've said it too in your teaching, that God doesn't just do things by chance. They're not just accidents. You know, there's purposes for them.
That's right.
And, that's right. Before we leave, I'd really like for y'all to hold that man up in prayer. That
George.
Okay. That God would. I know that there's three demons that I can sense that was in him. I know he needs to be delivered of the demons. But I know that he needs to have a heart of repentance, you know.
I'd like you to share something here for Ray, if I can. The Saturday that Ray was released from the hospital,
you came up and asked me.
I came up just after the doctors had left, and I walked in, and here's the man sitting up, just getting off the telephone, with a bright look on his face, happy look, ready to go home, and what the two doctors had just told me. He just, you know, it just went by, and he didn't care. He knew he was healed.
I know it.
And so we sat there and talked, so I saw that he was really wanting to go home, so I excused myself. And
we used to take about 30 minutes. We had a nice visit. Did I leave anything out?
No, the thought that keeps coming to me is every time we've prayed for you, there was immediate results.
Immediate.
But they were temporary.
That's right. That's right.
Until you dealt with the cause.
Until I dealt with the unconfessed sin.
When you dealt with the cause.
That's right. That's right.
That was what was necessary.
That's right. I mean, that's a valuable lesson for all of us who have ears to hear. That's a valuable lesson for all of us. I know it's been a very valuable lesson to me. I look at his chastening hand, Hebrews 12. And you know, it's like he says, no chastening is pleasant during the chastening. I can assure you, it was most unpleasant. But I can tell you this, about 5 nights ago, it was an incredible, like, new experience and joy for me to lay down in my bed and go to sleep. Because I hadn't been quite a while.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, another thing,
thank you, Jesus.
Ray, you had mentioned that Wednesday morning, was that the Lord spoke to you that today was the day of healing.
That's right, you're right. That's right.
Which you left out.
The Lord did tell me that, because I asked him, I said, Lord, how much longer do I have to suffer this? And he told me 2 days. Well, Wednesday was the second day. It was the second day. Little did I know how that was all going to transpire and play out. But, I mean, that, the way that it transpired and play out, some things came up in the meeting this morning that I feel like I might could comment on, and that was Mark Demme was really suffering some confusion. I'm very glad that no one was in a particular hurry today, because David was able to, I think, in a large way, allay some of that confusion. Never to draw your truth from any experience. I learned that years ago. However valid the experience is, you only draw your truth from truth, from the declared word. And I think a lot of people do tend to draw truth from experience. Well, I did this and this happened. Well, that's just as valid as it can be. I said that this is the ultimate truth right here.
So-and-so was a faithful person, and they believed God, and they died.
Yeah, right.
Well, what has that got to do with the Bible?
Nothing. That doesn't outweigh the truth at all. Doesn't
alter, no matter what.
Doesn't alter the truth at all.
No, it don't alter the truth at all.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, I this was something that I expressed to David, and but I really did not in any way ever want to send a mixed message, because I have, for the last 10 years of my life, from the time the Lord revealed himself to me on February the 17th, 1990, until now, I have not visited a doctor. Dr. Zimba was even amazed. When he checked my file, I had not been to see him in 10 years. Because I didn't need to. The Lord is my health. The Lord is, Christ is my life. Well, I mean, that's just the bottom line. But you see, God is no respecter of persons. And it doesn't matter how tight you've been with him at one time. If you move, it's not him that moved, it's me that moved. So I think there's a very strong, valuable message in this for people who have ears to hear. Because, you know, the scripture says, you know, there was a time when the Lord winked at things. But it says, you know, I don't think the Lord's winking anymore. I think the Lord is deadly serious with people. Be absolutely straightforward, to be honest, to be clean vessels, to be without spot, without blemish. And he has every right to expect that, because he tells us, he says, to whom much is given, much is required. And he required a good bit from me. Hey, Tom. He required a good bit from me. But you know something? It's like I learned years ago. And I can say it again with just as much conviction and honesty as I've ever said it before. I literally, even now, kiss the whip that he whipped me with. Because it's like I told David, I said, I have a restored joy that I had lost. Doesn't mean I wasn't saved. Doesn't mean that I was rejoicing in the Lord. I was every minute, all the time. But there was a joy and a tenderness in me. It's like I said in the email I sent the other day. You know, the old Puritans used to pray for the gift of tears. You know, I hadn't cried in a long time. I hadn't shed any tears in a long, long time. But the Lord let me cry again. He wet me up real good. And it was real sweet. It was real, real sweet.
You know, the Lord gave me a little revelation the other day. I was walking. I'd walked 2-3 miles. And I was just thanking the Lord for, you know, health in my body and just different things, you know. I was coming against some weaknesses, and I was thanking the Lord that they were healed and so on and so forth.
Right.
And thanking the Lord that my blood was flowing good, and thanking the Lord that, you know, all these things, you know. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and he says, that's giving thanks always for all things, for all things. And I got thinking about what he was saying there in Ephesians, you know, about giving thanks always for all things. And the Lord started comparing in my mind 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and Ephesians chapter 3, the two verses, and I, for the first time, realized that these two verses are not talking about the same thing. Giving thanks in all things is not the same as giving thanks for all things. Giving thanks in all things, we can understand we should do, because a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven.
That's right.
And God works all things together for our good. Meaning, in all things, meaning the experiences that you're in, thank God for them. You know, if it's a chastening, thank God for it. You need that. If it's a blessing, thank God for it. You know, whatever.
Right.
But it's in, it's giving thanks in the things that are. And what the Lord was showing me is he wants us to give thanks for
the things that are,
all things,
right,
even the things that are not.
Right.
He wants us. Because, you know, the Bible says, well, look at the verse first in Ephesians. Quoted to you 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Look at Ephesians here, chapter 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things. in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And so what the Lord was speaking to me was something I'd never thought about. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 21, all things are yours. All things are yours.
That's right.
He wasn't talking about the things that are. He was calling the things that be not as though they were. All things are yours. In fact, look at that verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
The way I had connected that, David, was, you know, 1 Corinthians 1, you know, says, as Christ abided, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? You know, verse 12 says, now this I say to every one of you, saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. You know, and he says, in verse 11, he says, you know, I understand that there are divisions among you. These things ought not to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, I always connected that verse over in the third chapter with saying that, you know, all these people that are divided, just embracing this particular personality or this one or this one or this one. And the Lord's saying, it's not just for you to have one. It's all yours.
Yeah.
It's all yours. But see, he reveals different things to us at different times. Different scriptures have different applications.
Right. Well, let me point out something to you. For instance, in Isaiah 53, the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed.
Right.
In 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we were healed. In 1 Peter 2:24, he's thanking God for something that happened at the cross.
Accomplished.
And in Isaiah 53, he's thanking God for something that's going to happen.
Looking forward to it.
And, you know? And, well, here it says, wherefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or
Cephas
or the world. Well, the world is ours, you understand.
Right, I know it. I know.
Or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. See, things are ours.
That's right, they're ours.
Because God doesn't dwell in time, and we don't either. These things are ours. We call the things to be not as though they were. Healing and health is ours. It's ours now.
That's right.
It was given to us at the cross. It's ours. When he says give thanks for all things, the Lord was pointing out to me, that's not just the things that are. That's the things that are not that we are to be calling ours. See, we are to be considering them ours, you know. So, I have been giving thanks in all things. And of course, when I pray, and I do what Jesus said, pray, when you pray, believe, have received, and you shall have it. Then I pray, and I start thanking God for these things that I've prayed for, because they are mine.
That's right.
You know? But it's the first time he'd ever connected this verse for me to help me to understand that we should be thanking God for all these things that we don't yet see. We should, if we have any weakness or any lack, we should be thanking God.
Mm-hmm.
We should be thanking God for those things that are ours. He said, or things to come. Things present or things to come. Thank you for things present.
Right.
Because that's thanking in all things.
Right.
You know,
right. Well, things present are things that are.
But we should be thanking him for the things to come. The things that are ours in the Lord. We have, like this morning we were talking about, you know, divine healing's good.
Right.
It's real good.
It is good.
But divine was better.
Divine health, that's right. Pat and I were talking about that a
second. That's right.
Divine health is better.
And divine health is ours.
Why go the route of being under the curse first?
He said in Exodus 15:26, if you keep my commandments, I'll put none of these diseases upon you which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord of healing.
Like a windshield wiper out there with his tail going back and forth.
Favorite purchase.
He was determined. He wanted to get his view.
Praise the Lord.
So he was going to sit down, but Pat kept moving his head.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, it's good. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, you know, it's a good word. That's a good word, Ray.
Thank you.
Amen. I'll tell you what, I'm just thankful to the Lord we still got you around here, Ray. I'm telling you.
Amen.
I tell you, it's a joy.
We need you.
It's a joy.
You've been a blessing to us, and we need you. We just thank God so much.
Yeah. I think your healing was a tremendous boost in all of our faith and prayer towards God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you look at the bad report, I don't see how it could have been a whole much better if they had just carried me out to Bayview. Well, I mean, that's the truth. When they give you a report like that.
I remember when I was talking to Dave, it was, I don't know if it was by phone or if it was in person, but we were saying that you had had a bad night and that you were in the hospital. And I said to Dave, and I said, well, isn't this just like the Lord? They're going to send Ray over there and they're going to tell him that there's nothing at all that can save him. The Lord's going to heal him.
That's exactly the way it came. That's the way, exactly the way he did it. That's
exactly what we said.
Because
I just
Amen.
Knew
yeah, the bad report.
That the Lord was the one who was in control of this, and there was going to be a great testimony to come out of it.
I tell you, our family is a tremendous
pullback
on our faith.
Oh, yeah.
Living with my mother.
Oh, yeah.
And I love her.
Right.
But it's so difficult to maintain my faith in her presence because of all the bad report.
You know who three of the Gospels tell you your true enemies are?
Mm-hmm.
Who are they?
Members of your own.
Members of your own household.
Yeah. Fred's got a great book that your mom would really, really benefit from. It's called Mother Tongue. She could really grow with
it.
You know, one thing, David called me on Saturday and told me that they were going to pray for you.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting in my chair where I typically had my Bible. Uh-huh. And he said, if you can, come.
Uh-huh.
And I made it kind of nice. Week. Every time Ray's comes to mind this week, I pray for him. I said, but I know he's going to be healed. It was just like,
You don't need me there.
Yeah, that's right. It was just like that. I knew it. When I called you on Sunday after
Sunday,
church,
I said, yeah.
And I could tell that you were healed.
Mm-hmm.
I really was not surprised.
Yes, I understand.
I was not surprised at all.
I understand.
But you have been the most outstanding I've been able to talk about in the past couple of weeks. Really, I must have talked to 20 people about you.
The Lord doesn't waste anything.
The before and the after.
Now
we need to take pictures.
Well, you know,
just to show people the before. I'm serious. I guess we could make him up with makeup. Make him look like that.
Make me look all white again.
We could put talcum powder on him and you could unbutton your pants. I remember your pants said, well, my gosh, you must have had a big meal when I walked. That's exactly what
I wasn't eating hardly
when
anything.
When I walked by you out there and you were sitting in the kitchen, I said, with his slippers. Lord, he must have had a big meal.
I couldn't do anything to get comfortable in the middle here. And I was just the slightest pressure was just gross discomfort.
Well, I was not surprised. I mean, I was not surprised when you answered the phone the way you answered the phone. I knew it.
That's right. That's right.
I just knew it.
The Lord is faithful. And He's healed.
This will help Mark, too. Because Mark called me within 20, 30 minutes after your catheterization.
Ah.
I was telling Ray earlier, and I had never told him. But Mark was devastated. Mark's his son.
Oh, my boy.
Mark.
Okay, my Mark.
He was devastated, mm-hmm. And he told me what the doctors had told him. He said, Dad's in the recovery room area. I just wanted to let you know. You can tell. In his voice, it was all over.
You called and told me that same way last night.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you,
that's one thing I shared. I'm sorry, Kurt.
I was just going to say that and anybody I've ever with before, God has never given me a vision. I mean, it was like I was in like my eyes was closed and I was in a dark room looking at the
heart.
Sonogram of a little baby. You know, when it shows the heartbeat of the baby, and you can just see it just
working.
The people who brought the bad report caused the people's heart.
Yeah, that's right.
Why go through that?
The Lord didn't melt my heart. I mean, there was no melting.
Well, here's my point.
Yeah.
Hey, Lord bless you. Here's my point. I don't think we'll tempt the Lord no more. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Don't go asking anybody else's opinion. Mm-hmm. The Word of God is true. We have the good
Word of God is true.
We've got the good report of the Lord.
Cling to the good report.
You know, I'm going to tell you, I say this, but it's happened to me so many times, that's why I know this is true. When you do get a miracle from the Lord, quite often the devil comes to try to throw a symptom on you to take it back. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it happen too many times. And you know what? He's coming to cause you to accept a bad report. Don't even look at it. Don't even listen to it. Just say, hey, devil, you're a liar. I don't accept this. I don't believe this. I'm healed, and that's it.
Well, you know, really, if you think about it, what's the worst that could happen? Okay? Right now. You're healed. Okay. The worst that could happen is that you're still healed. So why waste your time having somebody tell you that? I mean, if you're healed, you're healed.
I need some help. I'm going to tell you something. Dr. Zimmer wants me to go to this diabetes class next Tuesday and Thursday from 9 to 3:30.
That's for people that have diabetes.
I don't have diabetes. He's saying I do have diabetes. He wants me to go there and learn how to draw my blood every day and run it through this machine and tell me what blood count is, my sugar count is, and this diabetes is.
If you run up on somebody that's a diabetic, you'll send them over to him.
Well, now hear me out.
Non-believer, that is.
That's right. I mean, hear me out now, because it's like I was telling, Pat tonight at dinner. I said, you know, I used a very bad term. I said, you know, I'm kind of shaking. I'm not shaking at all, but you know, I need resolve. Not through it, but now. Past it, looking back at it in retrospect, I need resolve to cast off the doctors. Can y'all hear what I'm asking for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I need resolve to call this woman and tell her that she signed me up today to unsign me. Okay. I need resolve to lay down the pills.
See, the Bible don't call that resolve.
Okay, what happened?
It just calls it faith.
Faith.
Okay. It's just faith. Okay. It's just, you know that the Word of God is true.
Okay.
And you don't need anybody else's opinion mm-hmm. that the Word of God is true. That's kind of insulting to God, first of all.
We read the
story of what Jesus' opinion was mm-hmm. of their unbelief, you know.
He got aggravated.
That's right.
Well, going back with the situation with your heart under those circumstances, those symptoms can be a result of all that. Your heart has been healed to them.
Well, listen, there's no question that my heart is a new heart. I mean, there's no question.
That should have taken
you. Signs following.
Amen. And the same is true for diabetes. Let me tell you, I mean, I got diabetes on both sides of my family, and that devil has tried several times.
To put that off on you?
To put that on me. Because it was just naturally an inherited thing.
Right. Right.
And by the grace of God, I have never accepted that. Not for a moment. And he tried to put it on Justin back there, too. He tried that one day. And the Lord told me that I couldn't know what was happening. He was turning white and just... faint and everything, and I rebuked that devil. The Lord told me that's diabetes, mm-hmm. you know. So I commanded it to go in the name of Jesus, and he straightened right up. You know? So I know that the devil has tried that. He likes to fool with inherited things because you'll accept it in your mind because it's something that's natural, that's normal, it's something that.
But we're adopted out of that family.
That's right.
Absolutely. We're a different family.
I got new blood, right?
There's nothing they can do to me if I pull out of all this.
Well, the devil reasons with you.
I mean, the
reasons
doctors.
With you. And here's the only reason we got to throw back at him. We're not listening to any of those bad reports. We got the good report.
Right. Thank you for saying it.
It's written. We accept what it says. Right. It has to be. It's your faith, Ray. It's not my faith.
It's your faith. I know.
I'm telling you, if you stand strong and you only listen to the good report mm-hmm. and don't go listen bad report, what happened to them? Their hearts melted. They wouldn't go into the promised land when they listened to that bad report.
Amen. Thank you for saying it.
Oh.
Thank you. When I get the package she mailed to me, I'm just going to write it back over there and hand it back to her. Tell her I'm not coming.
Hey, what part of the scripture is
that? Just throw it in the garbage can. You don't even need to get it back. They got more packages.
They are going to jump right on your head today when you go over there. These people, they don't work for God.
Well, I know that. They work for monetary profit.
The devil wants to save you from God's salvation. He really does. And he'll work hard at doing it. I mean, he'll bring Christians around to try to give you a bad report and get you to swallow it, and he'll bring especially doctors around, because they only walk by sight. And they've seen other nuts like you around, and they know how to handle them.
Please do.
You have been a tremendous inspiration in my life. I have witnessed to more people since I met you than I have ever witnessed prior to meeting you. And I told your story, I don't know how many times you've told it, but I've told it at least 20 times. And every time I tell it, I get more enthusiastic about it.
I understand. Me too.
And when I tell people about it, some of the people ask me to pray for them. Mm-hmm. Right on the spot. And one thing I'm learning,
it builds faith in people.
It does.
It does.
I mean, mm-hmm. when I went out and gave you the name of Bob Vail, I went immediately back in. I called him on the phone. He was being shaved to go into surgery. I said, Bob, we got to pray.
Yeah.
I said, if you believe that the Lord will heal you, God will heal you. And we can agree on this right now. Mm-hmm. And he was already doped up because he'd slurred his words. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'd already given him a message. And he says, I want you to pray for me. And I could hear his wife. I said, well, take your wife's hand, and we're all three of us going to agree on this.
Right.
And we prayed over the phone. Because I didn't know if he was going in right then or what. I didn't want to be trying to get hold of him and they're wheeling him down the hall, but I got him just as he was getting shaved.
Right.
You need to understand that you just sat there tonight, and I don't know what I would do in your position, okay? I won't say that I would say, well, Lord, I know from the way I feel, I know from the expressions on people's faces when my color changed, I know from what you've allowed me to do today that I couldn't do 2 weeks ago. I know that you're in control of this. And if you're in control of this, then the doctor doesn't need to be in control of it.
And I don't need to be in control of it.
And you don't need to be in control of it.
That's right.
And I already know what the doctor said because he sent me home to die. I mean, he probably ain't going to change his mind because he's going to look bad. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, he's already, he's like, wait a minute now. He was going to die last week. Well, maybe he should maybe not die, but still just be bad off, you know? And we can keep it in that thing. But the point I'm getting at is he's already told you his professional opinion.
Oh, yeah.
But what I'm learning, and I don't mind saying this, I'm learning this from you.
I understand.
I mean, you have done a lot in the respect of changing the way I look at things. I spoke to a man today for 2.5 hours about what God can do if you are willing to allow him to do it.
Yes, ma'am.
And the man laughed at me for 30 minutes, told me I was crazy for another 15 minutes. When he got out of the truck, because he was captive audience, I mean, we were driving down the road 55 miles an hour because he couldn't turn me off.
Right.
But when he got out of the truck, because we were talking about he was suing an insurance company, and I simply asked him if he'd pray for him. And he said, all I want to do is kick their, you know, I don't want to pray for anybody. I said, well, you know, we're supposed to be doing what Scripture says. And if Scripture says this, which is a promise, then we can be guaranteed of the results of
God's result. That's right.
However, if we don't do what Scripture says, then we can be guaranteed that we most likely ain't going to get that
result that we don't want.
So you can laugh and you can think I'm crazy, but I'm the one who prayed for the adversary, and the adversary turned around and paid me $55,000 for a $4,000 invoice.
That's right.
You're the one whose guts are turning over, who's been in this trial and tribulation for a year and a half, and is bitter and angry and ticked off and all this other stuff. And you're going to continue to follow this pursuit. I said, your attorney, Mr. Hicks, is not going to be able to win for you. But when God, when you're doing what God wants, it is impossible for you not to be successful. And, I mean, you're the one who taught me this. I'm just letting
you know
that you can do what you want.
I can't do what I want. I've got to do what he wants.
Well, I agree with you. You need to do what he wants.
I've got to do what he wants. So,
you know, this is
value. I mean, I did this. I really needed to hear this. You know, what else is an accountability group good for? Except to call me to account.
Well, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings.
No,
I'm
not telling you. You've not hurt me. You haven't hurt my feelings. You're doing something that's needful.
I was thinking how that when Mary and I started down this faith road, you know, trusting the Lord and saw awesome signs and wonders and miracles, you know, just I learned that the way to receive this thing from God is just to be dogmatically determined not to depart from what's written. And some years down the road, I heard about this doctrine, and people were bringing me this doctrine. They called it the Logos Rhema doctrine. That, yeah, it's written in that word, but you really need to get a rhema from God before you can really stand on it and trust in it and so on and so forth. I didn't hold on to that thing for 2 seconds. I says, nope, I've already proved that wrong. I don't hardly ever hear anything from God except I hear what that book says, and that book says this, and I believe it. And from my experience, I knew that if you just stood on what that book said, you didn't have to hear a voice, you didn't have to hear nothing. You don't have to ask anybody's opinion. You don't have to ask anybody's opinion. All you got to do is stand on what that says, and don't depart from it, and don't listen to anything contrary to it, and you're going to have what it says consistently. So I knew this was a lie. But I began to ask the Lord about it, and I began to look up the word for Logos and Rhema and just study into it. And I had the Lord speak to me. He said, everything written in that book is a rhema. If you're humble to what it says, it's a rhema. It's according to you whether it's going to be a rhema or not. There are people out there, and I look at these people who are believing this doctrine, and never getting anything from God. They were never getting anything from God because they're waiting to hear God's voice, you know, tell them, my word is true. You believe it, you know. And, you know,
go for it.
And here these people are not getting anything from God. And we were getting healing from God consistently. Yeah. And so many times we're waiting for God to give us another word or a little bit more. Like, what's he going to say? What else is he going to say?
Well, for heaven's sakes, he's already given you a new heart. I mean, it's all of
98, too. What else is he going to say?
That's why I said what I said at the beginning of what I had to say. This was needful for me. If a mixed message has gone out of here, even tonight, I want this to be the last time it goes out. Is that well said?
Well said.
Okay. There's absolutely no message but the message of faith. The pills are in the toilet, and the rest of the stuff is canceled. And if they call me, well,
tell me, have a good day.
Thank you for calling.
There was nothing that they could have possibly done that would have restored the vessels.
No. Nothing.
Or the heart. Mm-hmm. When the heart was decaying and the vessels were decaying,
disintegrating,
and they were totally clogged. What? Let me ask you this. Even if God just broke the stuff loose, you'd be a dead man.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'd have strokes and clots and who knows.
What did God do? There was a creative miracle here.
That's right.
That stuff disappeared.
That's right.
You
understand?
You know, you didn't just suddenly your vessels open up and you started giving blood to your
extremities.
That didn't happen.
It was a new heart.
That didn't happen because if that would have happened, you'd be dead. You know, I mean, the point is, what was there is gone. You know, God.
God was showing me with that
image
totally made new.
and we're not walking by sight anyway. We're not talking about whether we see success or don't see success. If you do that, you're going to be moved by the things that are, not by the things that are not.
you're not healed because you feel healed. You're not healed because you feel blood in your toes or in your nose.
Because
the book says so.
That's right.
And that's the way we got to think about it.
That's right.
I'm healed because God says so.
That's right.
I am healed.
That's right.
And I don't need anybody else's opinion.
His opinion is sufficient.
I mean, I've even had people give me other opinions that don't make any difference.
I
believe the opinion of God is true, and that's all you really need. That's all you ever need.
And then, too, Raymond, I suggest that I'm sure I assume that you've been doing this, but that I'd like to point out to get back to focusing on what God wants and what God's will is and the work that He has for you, and get back to letting the Lord Jesus become your focus again, and reckon this done, and go on to your priorities, which are not your healing.
That's right. Yeah.
And the more you keep Christ as your focus, and go on into doing the work that He has for you, and praying for your brothers and sisters and their needs, it'll solidify your faith. Already
been. Yeah, I reminded Ray of a testimony that he and I both read some years ago. I don't know if y'all remember this guy that packed the cross everywhere. What was his name?
Arthur Blessed.
Blessed. And he was, I forget what he was diagnosed with, but he was a goner. You know, basically speaking, I don't remember what it was, but the doctor basically told him he was a goner.
Arthur wasn't going for that, was he?
Well, you know what? He was questioning the Lord. He says, "Lord, what am I supposed to do? You sent me over here, and yet they're telling me, you know, there's no way you're on your last legs, and so on and so forth." And the Lord just told him, "Well, go, just go." Yeah. So he forgot about
it's difficult
what they were telling him,
right. And
went to go and do the work of the Lord. Before he knew it, he didn't remember anything more about this thing. It's just not there anymore, you know, because he just went on to do the work of the Lord, went on to do what the Lord told him to do, and ignored it. Just went on doing what he was supposed to do and ignored it, and it went away.
That's what I was alluding to the other night when I was talking about, and I think Ray can probably speak in terms of there's a threshold where the battle is very, very strong, and then all of a sudden, the Lord, with His grace and His mercy, He puts us over the hump to where sin, and what we're dealing with, is a memory of a testimony rather than a battle. And the sinner that we are walking out, the testimony of a past victory, the sinner that's laid to rest and the confirmation of it having it been handled in faith is complete.
Yeah.
It's coming into the rest.
Have you ever had the devil just talk to you, you know, in your mind?
Oh yeah,
and you just keep on going. You ignoring him. None of it's sinking in. You ain't letting it sink in because you ain't paying attention. You just keep on going. You know. Mm-hmm. So some people and I do it sometimes too. I just rebuke him. Yeah. I don't accept that. Get out of here or something. You know. But most of the time I just ignore it. Yeah, I just ignore it because it ain't the truth, and I don't have to accept it.
That's right.
It's not particularly offensive to me. I just don't believe it, you know.
There was two places in the scriptures that was coming to my mind when you were talking, and that's the three Hebrew children when they were going to be cast in the fiery furnace.
Mm-hmm.
They said that our God can deliver us from this.
But even if
he doesn't, we're still going to
bow down to your mess.
Yeah. And then Job, when he was lost everything he already had, and he had to be in tremendous pain with the boils and everything. I was just thinking about how he could still lay there and say, "Though my God, Lord slay me, I'll still serve Him."
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, if you ever ask anybody who walks by sight and don't walk by faith, you are asking the devil to talk to you.
That's right.
You are asking the devil to talk to you because that's all you're going to get.
That is what's so difficult.
Well, even your sister being a lawyer, it's sometimes she's a lawyer, a nurse.
My oldest sister's a psychiatrist. She was a medical doctor, and she turned to psychiatrist. So she's
I was just
going
to say that
probably conversations with her is fairly probably difficult because of her knowledge and her great studies, you know, in past experience.
She's pretty easy to talk to. I guess her psychological training has helped her,
made her a good listener.
Yeah. Psychiatrists are trained to listen, not object, and not throw it because they want to get it all out of you. You know,
they want you to tell them. Training is not to ever act surprised.
Right. Don't
let anything surprise you, and then you'll hear the whole story.
That's right.
The whole story. Yeah.
So when she's talking to you guys, she's really being therapeutically treated and not even aware of it, huh?
Yeah.
She's picking your brain.
Okay.
Well, she's ready to go.
Psychiatrist.
We need to pray for George.
Yeah.
She's one of the few psychiatrists I know of that believes in demons. And she ain't saved either.
She ain't saved either.
She believes in demons.
Oh, my.
But before I leave, I want to make that confession like Ray had about, you know, my thoughts. And I want to get that out where it's not something that I'm holding back and covering up. I don't want anything in my house that's being rebuilt to be covered. You know,
mm-hmm.
Amen. So I need forgiveness for that. Mm-hmm. And then I would like to, like you said, pray for George. I believe that at the time, Monday night when he was there, that being in my heart and not being confessed was what gave me that. I said I had a tremble in my heart when I was afraid he was going to ask me to go ahead and deliver him.
And
I was afraid that. I believe that very point right there would have, that fear, mm-hmm. The demons would, you know, they would have obeyed me.
They would have. But, you know, you're right, Kurt, and I look at this, but, you know, the Lord, how did the Lord send his disciples out? One at a time?
Two.
Two by two. Mm-hmm. One will chase how many?
1,000.
Two will chase how many?
10,000.
Lord knows that. That's why he sent two by two.
Yep.
There's a real, it's like I called David, I can pray, I can do it myself, and I've done it. Mm-hmm. But I'd call this man, and I said, now we're going to pray together. You pray with me, because I know two of us are going to chase 10,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe the Lord's really dealing with his heart, mm-hmm. and that's still, to me, what I call the Father still pulling through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have the fear of the Lord to let go and repent.
I think more than anything, he needs conviction of the Holy Spirit. Would you reckon? If he is saved, he just needs to be convicted so he can repent.
Don't we pray for conviction?
Yeah. I think, don't you think that would be an appropriate prayer?
Pray for the fear of the Lord.
Fear of the Lord and conviction of his sin. Yeah.
Whatever it comes.
So we can
understand the gospel also. The man needs to understand the gospel of forgiveness because he's using that as something standing between him and being able to receive.
Well, I know when he came over here that day and we had a 2-hour talk, I know the anointing of the Lord was on me to share the gospel with him. I mean, it was just flowing, you know.
I know.
And I knew it was helping him.